I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today, John shares a giant construction project he's working on. I channel Nate Berkus in the bathroom, and we get Tiffany Thiessen, yes, that Tiffany Thiessen, to dish about her home.
Well, hey there.
Why, hello. We meet again.
Yeah, so we do. Are you going to start off with what's new this week?
I am. Our what's new this week, well, my what's new this week, is it involves you as well.
I was there for it.
You were there. We gave the front landscaping a haircut. It was shaggy and overgrown. We have these two huge holly bushes / trees that are like on either side of the house. One's by the garage and one's on the other side. And I think the weird thing that happened was we got kind of blind to how big they were getting. Like every day you see them, you don't notice that they're huge. And they were overdue for a haircut probably by like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think this thing happens is like when we move into a house or when you're seeing a house for like the first time, it's really clear to you what might need a trim, like what's overgrown, where might you might be able to let the house breathe. And so we did that when we moved in, but I don't think we really did it ever since.
No, they just, I thought for some reason, like they're big and my brain didn't register, like big can still get bigger.
Yeah.
Like my head was like, there are two giant things on either side of the house. And then when I was looking back at old pictures of the garage right after we painted it, which I think has got to be 2 or 3 years ago, we looked at the pictures and the bush was like half the size of what it is right now.
Like you said, you see them every day and so it kind of creeps on you. So I would encourage anyone who maybe has been in their house for a little while to like dig up an old photo of their house and look at what their plantings look like, because they might have creeped on you too. And it might be a good reminder that there's some trimming that you could do. And just like, we had to do a lot of shaping on that one holly bush.
It right. One was like encroaching.
Top heavy.
One was, yeah, they were weirdly shaped because they were growing out and they were encroaching on windows, which is not good. One of them was covering completely one of the windows in the garage, which you don't think is a big deal, but we work in the garage all the time. So all the natural light we can get in there is a plus. And the other one was encroaching on the office window to the point where when we trimmed them, I noticed a difference in light in there. So I think anyone out there, it's annoying work and it takes a long time and you're sweaty, but it's a good workout. And it's a nice sort of free way, except for the clippers. You know, if you don't own clippers, you have to buy those. But once you have them, shaping the bushes is a good curb appeal update. And it's also a lighting update if they're blocking your windows.
My what's new is actually this really cool construction project that I've been freelancing on, not actually doing the construction. It's through the ad agency that I freelance for. I'm just in charge of working on some of the marketing and communications, but it's for this big sort of historic restoration here in Richmond, Virginia. And it's just been cool to sort of watch a large scale construction project because it's so different from what we're used to seeing in our house and being in charge of in our house. I mean, yeah, we pick flooring and paint colors and yada yada, but this is a big deal, like thousands of square feet and having to pick finishes and materials that are historically accurate but still function for contemporary times. And so like I was telling Sherry about this the other night and she was like much more fascinated than I thought she was going to be.
I was like, you should talk about this on the podcast, yeah. John.
But like there's a concrete floor in there and they like went around to look at different businesses around town to figure out who laid the best, flattest, most shiny, perfect concrete floor. You know, it's a big deal for them because it's a big space and a lot of people are going to be in there. And they're also hanging these giant glass panes in the space to let a lot of light in. And I learned that a few years ago, you couldn't even manufacture glass that large. It was not something that existed. And it was actually Steve Jobs who wanted to make that glass box Apple store in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, who like basically, you know, he figured out who could make it. And so now this manufacturing process exists. So now this building here in Richmond can have these giant glass panes in it. So the project has a lot more time till it's done. And so maybe once it's finished, I can share some pictures of it. It's been a cool project to work on because it still like kind of touches home and architecture and building and construction. I'm not in charge of any of it. I just get to observe it. Thank goodness, because I do not want to have the responsibility of doing that.
Pour a perfect concrete floor for 10,000 square feet.
I'll just do the advertising for it. Well, now it's time for a new segment we're calling, Well, That's Embarrassing. Sherry, since you're pretty embarrassing sometimes, you want to take it away?
Guys, I brought you this segment, so you're welcome. So I told a local realtor I loved her when I was leaving her a message.
Well, do you? Should I be jealous?
I really appreciate her, but I am not, in fact, in love with her. It was really confusing. A friend of mine called me, and she was interested in a house in my neighborhood, and the listing agent happened to be my neighbor, who's a realtor, one of my neighbors down the street. So I was like, well, let me call her, because she's my neighbor, and I'll get some info, and I'll give you a ring back. And my friend was like, oh, just call her, and I'll stay on hold. So I'm holding my house phone with my friend on it, and I picked up my cell phone, and I called the realtor. And I think my brain just got confused, because I had, like, a person I would say love you bye to on one phone, and then I had the realtor in the other phone. And so I left her this message, like, real cute. Like, hey, it's your neighbor up the street. Just calling because a friend of mine's interested in the house you've listed. Would love some information. Love ya. Bye. And then I picked up the phone with my friend on it. And I was like, you still here? And she was like, did you just tell that realtor you loved her? And I was like, yes.
You're like, I'll do anything to get this house for you.
Oh my gosh.
Just say the word. I'll confess all of my emotions.
The nicest thing is that my neighbor, the realtor, was not like, hey, so I heard you love me. Like, she didn't bring it up and she wasn't weird about it. I'm hoping she assumed it was one of those like momentary brain lapses where you usually say love you bye to your friends or family and assumed I went into autopilot and said it to her.
Yeah, she probably understands. I mean, it's like that thing where you are like getting on your plane, you tell the gate agent when they're like, have a good flight. And you're like, you too.
Yeah, totally. You like, enjoy your flight.
Wait, they're not going anywhere. I'm the only one enjoying a flight.
And it echoes in your ears for the whole flight how stupid you were. Yep, it was kind of like that. It was like more embarrassing / more funny that my friend overheard it. So she could be like, did that just happen? So anyway, that's what's embarrassing with me lately.
That's very embarrassing.
Check back soon. I'll probably have another.
Tune in later to see who else Sherry has said she loved.
Before we get to our call for today, which I'm ridiculously excited about, I wanted to give everyone an update from a previous episode. You may recall John quizzing me in episode 1 about Nate Burgess facts, and I guessed that, quote, he peels the labels off his shampoo bottles was the fake fact, but it turns out that was the real fact. And so a week or two later, I was in the shower and I was like, Nate Burgess peels the labels off his shampoo bottles? Maybe this is something I should be trying. So I gave it a go.
Well, it was quite the scene when I walked in because I stopped in the bathroom to get something and I was like, what is all over the floor?
There were like all these sticky labels on the floor and he's like, what's going on? I was like, nothing, just channeling Nate Burgess while I'm in the shower in a non-weird way. But anyway, I decided to peel the labels off the bottles because like they don't look cohesive. Not that I ever looked at my shampoo and conditioner bottles to be cohesive, but I thought if this is something Nate Burgess does, I'm going to see if it gives me joy. And I did peel them off. Some of it involved using my teeth, but I got them off.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad I didn't witness that part.
Just a little tip. The bigger the label is, the harder it is to wrestle it off.
Well, you did a good job. They look pretty like clean now.
Oh yeah, they came off pretty clean. I think the steam in the shower loosens everything and they were ready to go. I just have no fingernails. My nails are very short. So I went, what's that called in the movie with the bunny?
Oh, you went savage?
Yes, I went savage. If you don't have children and have not seen Zootopia, go see it. It's very funny. So anyway, I got the labels off and my evaluation is this. It looks much better because I don't think it could look worse, right? Like you're just taking embellishments off things to make them simpler and clean. Our shampoo is in like a clear bottle, so you just see the shampoo in it. Our conditioner is in a white bottle. It just looks like a white bottle now without this big orange label. And our body wash is in a clear bottle, but it's differently shaped. So I don't think we'll ever be like, is that the shampoo or the body wash?
We should probably post a picture of this on younghouselove.com/podcast so people can see it. I'll say I was impressed because we didn't have all the same brand stuff and they kind of look more like they're from the same.
I'll put it this way, guys. The negatives of the bathroom far exceed the shampoo bottles, though. So you'll see in the picture that there is big blue tile in the background. So like the bathroom
didn't solve
overhaul.
All of our bathroom's problems.
Right. It wasn't a bathroom makeover. It was just a shampoo and conditioner bottle makeover. I will say I felt kind of weird because I was like very reluctant to do it. And after I did it, I was like, should I label these on the bottom with Sharpie? But then I was like, get a hold of yourself, Sherry. You never read the label. You're not confused. You know what your conditioner is in the white bottle and you know your shampoo is in the clear one. So it didn't make anything harder. I just think it was a little bit more type A than I'm used to being. If you're in the shower and you're bored, go savage. Get the labels off your conditioner and shampoo and just tell me what you think. Is it worth it or is it not? I'm on the fence. I think it's worth it because it was hardly any work, but I don't know if I'll do it like religiously every time I buy shampoo and conditioner. So I tried it, Nate Burgess.
Thanks, Nate.
Call me. Love you. Bye.
Okay, I think that's a clear sign that we should move on. Do you need to take some deep breaths before a call with Tiffany Thiessen?
You know, I watched TV in the 90s a lot and Kelly Kapowski is the coolest, and I feel like I'm getting in a time machine and I get to call her.
Well, you probably shouldn't call her Kelly Kapowski.
Right, this is probably true. Noted. We shall call her Tiffany Thiessen.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good. We're good. So nice to talk to you, Tiffany. Thank you for making time for us.
Of course. I'm excited.
Actually, you might not know this, but we have a ton in common. Our kids are similar ages. We both met our husbands around the same time. We both have a blog. Our first names end in E sounds. And of course, we both got our starts playing cheerleaders on popular 90s sitcoms.
Oh my gosh, I love it. We're separated at birth.
It's true. We're like twins.
So Tiffany, we wanted to talk to you today about a lot of things. Your home, your show on the cooking channel called Dinner at Tiffany's, and we even have a little game for you at the end.
Okay.
But first, we wanted to pick your brain about your kitchen at home, because we noticed that you've got three different countertops going on. Is that right?
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, tell us about that. You've got white silestone counters on the perimeter of the kitchen. You've got black silestone on most of the island, but there's like a big slab of butcher block at one end.
You know, when I was redoing my kitchen, which was one of the biggest projects, as you know, kitchens are the hardest to do. But at the same time, for us, and I think a lot of families, they spend the most time in the kitchen. So I wanted my color scheme, first of all, to be very easy black and white. I mean, literally black, white, and gray. That's the color of our kitchen, because I wanted the food to be the color. You know, I wanted the actual kitchen itself to be very minimal.
The kitchen is the backdrop. The food is the star.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And when I redid it, the biggest thing that I wanted to make sure, because if I could show you what the kitchen looked like before, you'd be mortified.
Oh, we love a before and after.
Oh, it's crazy. I think I have some somewhere. But the island was like half the size, and it was kind of like a half moon shape. So I literally doubled it in size. And at the end of the counter, you know, the island, I made a huge entire chopping block that's literally out of this chunk of walnut. And so everything I can chop is right there by the sink, by the trash. I mean, it's the size of probably, oh gosh, 8 chopping, you know?
Right, like a giant cutting board.
It's giant. It's a giant cutting board.
That's awesome.
So, and I just, counter space is what I wanted the most, because I love throwing dinner parties. I needed the counter space.
I think it's a great tip. I really love when people don't default to using just one countertop material, especially if you really think about how you use your kitchen and it's extra functional to bring something else into the mix. So I loved seeing that big butcher block on the end of the island.
Thanks. You know, the house has been another heartfelt project. We just redid the big living room. We did a whole playroom, which for us with the kids, you know, I love having a space that's just for them. So there's not toys strewn out all throughout the house that I'm tripping over. And I'm a little type A personality. I'll admit it. I like having a designated spot for them that they can be messy and be kids and have their own spot for painting and coloring and reading. And so we actually took this little area that was like almost like a little reading room, den, partial bar area in the house. It was very dark and it had like real dark wood paneling on it. And we painted it, redid the little bar area into a little kid's kitchen area so she can wash her hands when she's painting.
Oh my gosh, that is brilliant.
It's great. It's so great. And it's actually one spot that we've not photographed yet, but I'm going to soon and have it up on my blog soon. But it's right in the middle of the house. So we can literally just do our thing and watch TV or a movie and the kids can play. It's great.
Oh, it's perfect, because it's not like you're throwing them in the corner dungeon. They're like right near you guys.
And we love it. We absolutely love it.
When we were looking at all these magazine home tours, John and I both realized sort of at the same time, wait a minute, the kitchen that you cook in on the show is different from the one in your house. So can you tell us a little bit about what's different on the set kitchen versus your everyday kitchen?
Much smaller, much, much, much smaller. A lot of people may know this or may not know this, but every season we've had a different kitchen. So from the very first episode, which was a special, to season number one, to season number two, it's all been different houses.
But it's a real house?
It's a real house. Yeah, it's not a set. It's a real house. The last house actually that we used was actually our neighbor's house, because I just had Holt, the baby, and so I wanted to be really close by because I was nursing.
Oh.
So I literally would walk to work, which was amazing. So that was really great. And we redid their kitchen actually before we started shooting. So it was a nice little perk for our neighbors to have a new kitchen.
The perks of being Tiffany Thiessen's neighbor.
It was such a perk for me to be able to be so close.
I have this question that I know sounds ridiculous. I, for some reason, always assumed like celebrities always had someone cooking for them, or they always ate out at fancy restaurants. And so I constantly am surprised when I'm like, oh no, they cook like normal people. And when I see you have such a skill at it, and I don't know why it catches me off guard, but could you tell us a little bit about how you got into cooking and why you love doing it so much?
I grew up in a family of women that literally all of them were amazing cooks. And it was just me constantly in the kitchen, kind of pulling up on the countertops, looking at what they're doing, watching them. And then as I got older, kind of doing it alongside of them. To me, sitting down and quote unquote breaking bread is such a great way to connect with people, family, friends, people you don't know. And that's kind of the whole gist of how the show came about. My friends used to kind of joke and be like, let's go have dinner at Tiffany's. And after hearing it for so many years, I'm like, you know, there's a show idea here. You know, I was in New York shooting at the time a show called White Collar, and Food Network and Cooking Channel's, you know, headquarters are in New York. And I was like, I got to get a meeting with them. I love to cook and I love to entertain and I have this idea. So I literally walked in and pitched them the idea, and here we are. We're about ready, you know, to start season three. We got picked up for season three, so.
So let's talk about what it's like filming your show. Do you only make everything once, or is it one of those things you do over and over again, so by the end of the day, you have like 30 arugula pizzas?
So I cook everything in real time on camera, and most of the time we eat what I cook. I mean, because it is in real time, because everything's very fast and I do everything on camera. We do have a kitchen staff, of course, in, you know, on the side, usually out of the garage of the house that we're shooting in, who's literally prepping the stuff beforehand, also making doubles just in case if there's an accident, you know, something gets burned, we need to retake or whatever. It's very seldom. So usually the crew gets everything left over that we don't use, which they're pretty happy about. And then also, depending on the timeline of it all, we have to shoot what they call beauties. So if we're not shooting beauties live as I'm cooking it and plating it because of time wise or whatever, with the celebrities coming in and eating it and we got to hurry and do it fast, sometimes they'll do the beauties after.
I would like to be a member of the crew. I want to eat it all.
Exactly.
Your special skill on the crew will just be eating things.
Right. I'll just be like taste tester.
Anytime. I'm telling you, people love to stop by. There hasn't really been anybody, I would say, that's probably come on and hasn't felt like it was probably the easiest show they've ever done, because literally they're coming into a house eating, drinking, and having fun, you know?
Yeah, I would also like that job.
Yeah, me too. Believe me.
If you could just send Sherry some applications.
Right. All I really want to do is eat your food. This is the theme here. And speaking of all the celebrities you've had over for dinner on your show, you've had Mario Lopez, Lance Bass, Jason Priestley, Sherry O'Terry, just to name a few. Who's someone you haven't had over yet who would be your dream guest, and what would you cook for them?
Well, I did Jimmy Fallon's show for him. I think Jimmy Fallon owes me and needs to come on my show.
We'd be rolling on the floor laughing.
And you should make him wear the same outfit he made you wear.
You know what, John? You've got something there. I think that is perfect.
Well, I know what makes good television.
I love it. What would I make them? I don't know. That's a good question. You know, one thing we do with a lot of our guests is we, of course, make sure that there's no allergies, if they're gluten-free, if they're vegetarians or vegans or whatever.
I feel like he was on Top Chef once eating burgers.
I have a feeling that he seems to be somebody who probably eats about anything, so I think it'd probably be pretty easy.
We'll put in a good word.
You know, we're really good friends with Jimmy Fallon. He's actually going to do this show right after you,
so we'll just tell him.
Yeah.
Tell him, please, for me.
We got you. Don't worry about it.
Well, this is kind of a random question, but, you know, in this age of glossy magazine spreads and Instagram filters, we're always kind of fascinated by what, like, normal real life looks to people, you know, when
yes.
when the cameras are turned off and we've got our phones down. So
right. What
does, like, a normal, totally average evening look like with your family at your house?
Oh my gosh, trying to get two kids fed, putting the chickens away, the 7 chickens we have for the night, you know, feeding dogs, picking up toys, trying to bathe 2 kids. To me, probably normal to almost any other family who has multiple children. But then, you know, there's also what we call tag team here. You know, my husband takes Harper and into her room, and I'm nursing Holt and putting him to bed. And, you know, there's a lot of tag teaming as well.
Agreed. We are a fan of the tag team.
Tag team. You got to do it.
Well, Tiffany, we're going to finish up with a game.
Okay.
It's called What's Not. So I'm going to give you a list of items in a certain category. Some of them are real. Some of them are made up.
Okay.
So your job is just to guess what's real and what's not.
Got it.
Your category is called Saved by the Paint Colors.
Okay, got it.
So these are paint colors. Some are real, some are not.
Oh my
Ready?
Gosh.
We're going to start easy.
Okay.
Kelly Green.
Definitely, yes.
Yes. Bayside.
I'm guessing not.
That is a real color.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And believe it or not, it's teal and it's by Bear.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. I might have to check that out.
Zack Attack.
Okay, that can't be. There's no way.
No, it's not. Maybe it should be, but it's not. Screech Owl.
I feel like this is kind of a trick question. I'm just going to go out on a whim and say yes.
Oh, it's not.
But it also should be.
Yes.
Bell Tower.
I'm going to say yes on that.
Correct. It's a bear color. It's kind of a grayish.
A grayish. I like that. Okay.
Yes, a gray beige.
You should have seen us just Googling Saved by the Bell terms to find paint colors.
I can imagine.
Lark green.
I'm going to say yes on that too.
You're right. It's a Sherwin-Williams color. Time out.
No.
Yes, that is a real color.
It is?
It's a bear color. It's kind of a peach.
A peach color. Interesting. Well,
I don't really know the connection. Okay, next one. So excited.
Oh, it sounds more like a nail polish color, so I'm going to say no.
You're right. It's not a paint color. Belding gray.
No, there's no way.
There's no way. You're right. Olive to the max.
I would say no way as well.
That is a Valspar color.
Really?
And very last one, Berkeley beige.
No way.
You're right. That is not a real paint color.
How many did I get right?
You got a lot of them right.
Oh, I wasn't keeping track.
I feel like you did much better than I typically do on these segments. So congratulations.
Well, that is all we've got, Tiffany. You did great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Everyone, be sure to check out Tiffany's show, Dinner at Tiffany's, on the Cooking Channel. She's also got great stuff about food, home, family, and chickens on her website, tiffanytheisen.com. So we will talk to you later. Thanks, Tiffany.
Thanks, John.
Thank
Sherry.
You.
Have a beautiful day, you guys.
Can I just say that I'm very proud of myself for not reverting back to some nervous middle school version of myself through that whole thing?
Congratulations on holding it together, honey.
Thank you.
You did it.
Thank you. And I feel like I should point out that on that Jimmy Fallon show, she had to put on her old Bayside cheerleading uniform and a sketch that kind of reunited her and a bunch of her castmates.
So that's what John was saying, that Jimmy Fallon should have to wear that outfit. I agree. I think that'd be adorable. And all nostalgia aside, I feel like it was super refreshing to just hear her talk about being a normal person who moms just like the rest of us mom and cook like the rest of us cook. Just talking
Let's be
about-
honest. She does not cook like the rest of us cook.
That's true.
At least not in our household.
That's true. She's a great cook. And definitely check out her house on younghouselove.com/podcast. I love the fact that she embraces nearly every color of the rainbow in her house. It's sort of refreshing because a lot of celebrity homes, I feel like, lately have been very grayscale, and hers is the opposite of that. There's a big yellow ottoman in the middle of her living room. It's this big, round, cozy-looking thing. I think it's such a fun way to bring in happy color and warmth. Her son Holt's room is also really inspiring. It has a rich, deep color on the walls. Even the doors and the molding are painted that same blue color. It's not really a navy. It's more like a deep royal blue. And there's cool blue wallpaper on one of the walls with mostly white furniture. So I think that room is a perfect example of a really cool design risk that they took. And it looks fresh and fun and totally different.
Well, and you've got to love a house that doesn't take itself too seriously, too. You know, in that Lonnie article, you can see on her chicken coop, they've got a sign that says, "Farm fresh butt nuggets." So that's my new favorite term for eggs.
Can you pass me the butt nuggets?
Never mind. I take it back. It's not my favorite term. Well, Sherry, let's wrap this up with we're digging.
Well, what I'm digging this week is being alone at Target.
Like alone all by yourself? Like
no.
Shut down Target for only Sherry Petersick?
No, not like the Kardashians do Target. Just like Sherry Petersick does Target without other Petersicks.
Do you think the Kardashians actually do Target?
That's fair point. I know this is not a revelation to some people who go to Target alone all the time, but I have discovered that we usually run our errands together, or one of us stays in the car with the kids and one runs in, but that's not like a leisurely activity. Like when
you've
in the
got
car
a time
with
limit.
The kids, yeah, the clock is ticking and I'm running in to get whatever I need to get. Or a lot of the time I'm in Target with the kids and I'm pushing them around and trying to get out alive. So there's not a lot of like there's not candle smelling that goes on when I'm at Target. That's like a leisurely thing.
Maybe some candle throwing.
Exactly. In a turn of recent events, on a random Sunday afternoon, I took a joyride to Target alone, all by my lonesome. And I spent like 2 hours smelling every candle at Target.
Yeah, I thought I lost you.
It was fun. I could remember everything I needed to get. I had this clarity of like, you know, I've been meaning to get jewelry cleaner for 2 years because I always have sawdust or glue or something on my wedding ring. And I, you know, without the din of other voices and the craziness that is our family or them waiting in the car, I clearly knew what I had to do. I walked to that aisle, found the jewelry cleaner, and I had a fun time smelling all the candles.
I think this what this tells me is that for next Mother's Day or for your birthday, we should just give you like Target gift cards and like 2 hours of free time and say, have fun, mama.
Have at it. Yeah. I will take you up on that.
I will keep the kids.
I know most moms do that all the time. I think it's like a joke, like going to Target alone and getting like some drink at the Starbucks is like a mom vacation. And I get it. I get the joke now. I'm in on it, guys.
My we're digging this week is a simple upgrade that I made in our garage. because our garage, as we've spoken about before, is nothing to look at. But part of its problem was also lighting. You know, working in there, we only had two just open, like bare bulbs in there, one on either side of the garage. And it was not enough light to do work in there.
No, so, it was probably like 60 watt bulbs to have them.
I mean, we put LEDs in there that were 60 watt equivalent, but it still was not bright enough to really work well at night without an extra work light. And so I stumbled upon these lights called Easy Lights. They are just a light bulb. They're actually a bulb. They look like a giant fixture, but the way you attach them to your ceiling is just by screwing it into where a light bulb would go. And it works perfectly over those just like bare bulb sockets. And it is like a 7-inch wide LED light. And they're like less than $20 on Amazon. It was a simple switch. I mean, literally, it was like screwing in a light bulb because that's what it was. And it suddenly felt like I had added two fluorescent fixtures to the garage without having to actually do any wiring or anything. So I am very grateful I took the time to do it. I think they would be great like in an attic or like a closet or something because they're just a much bigger bulb. So they make the room much brighter.
Right. Like you guys know how big a boob light looks. This is almost as big as a boob light,
but it's all one light bulb.
Yes. And it's all surface area that's illuminated. So like the whole dome glows versus having a tiny bulb. Picture a whole boob lamp that is the light illuminating. Am I painting a beautiful picture for you guys? Yeah.
A whole boob that's lighting up.
A glowing boob.
Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
If you haven't already hit the subscribe button in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts, it just takes a click or two, and it'll make sure you get new episodes as soon as they're out. And while you're at it, feel free to help a friend or family member subscribe too.
We also like to do the Facebook and the Instagram and the Pinterest and the Twitter, so search Young House Love to find us there.
And as always, be sure to check out younghouselove.com/podcast. For notes, links, and photos from this episode, including Tiffany's home and the hilarious Saved by the Bell sketch she did for The Tonight Show.
Bye.
Later.
Meow, meow.